Red Sox win 8-6 in Houston last night. I know all of you stayed up until the very end. Until the very bitter end.
Thank you for that text.
I think it was 1:14.
Oh, my God.
1:14 and ended? Do I have that right? Yeah, 1:14. I was there, baby.
Thank you for that text.
Yeah, to get you, make sure you're awake.
Yep. Yeah.
So, wake up.
You're like, wake up. I'm like, and you're like, David Price, capital letters, is going in the ninth. That threw my
cap. And then he didn't go.
And then he didn't go, and you pissed me off.
I didn't control that.
No, I know.
Looked like he was coming into the game. He did not come into the game.
No, I didn't hear it, but did the announcer say that by the manner and how he is warming up, he is not coming into this game? Did they say that on the broadcast?
No, why would they have said that?
People are talking about that.
No, they said something to the
effect
of...
He's not going
of,
in by the just the way he's warming
the
up.
Way, yeah, the, and I fell asleep, but I had it recorded.
Because it was all so on Twitter,
I watched the rest of it this morning, the last...
Honestly, 30, if
30 minutes. The last 30 minutes I watched this morning. But somebody said something to the effect of David Price, the way he was warming up. It's like, well, at this point, it's like he's too warmed up. It's like he's beyond...
Like he's throwing a bullpen.
Like he's beyond ready to go. Right.
Right. He wasn't throwing anymore. He was standing there. He'd already been throwing. Is what was, and you know what? If you were hanging on to every word of that broadcast crew
I've had it.
1 a.m.
I'm so ready for the next...
Then you're more dead than the rest of us.
Ready
today.
For the World Series now.
Because it's painful.
Let's get past this.
Because it hurts. That's why. Oh, man.
Everything hurts.
Those two. Oh, is this guy from Texas? I don't know. Anderson will tell you if he is.
Oh, my God.
Every
ask
single
Google.
Guy from Texas. Hey, Google.
I like the Ask Google vignettes. Those are fun.
Yeah, they're just great.
Like, I dig Texas. I like the size. I like how big things are down there and how the amount of cement they have. And
yeah,
they have
well, Brian Anderson and loves
Texas flags that fly everywhere, pretty much every piece of property you have. I'm done with Texas.
All right, so the game was nearly 5 hours long, but it was a great game, which sounds insane to say. It was entirely too long.
From an entertainment
perspective.
Oh, a good game.
But you had something that was interesting at every point and turn in that game last night. Every single step of the way, there was something going on. And you can't come out of that saying that it was a bad game, because it wasn't.
No.
It was just really long is what it was. The Red Sox did an incredible amount of damage with two outs. That's what this game comes down to. They did a ton of damage with two outs, and the Astros helped them along the way. The Astros did some dumb things in this game. You know why the other team is stupid, like we'd like to do after Patriots games?
Yeah.
You could do that for the Astros today. They did some dumb things along the way.
They're a little bit of a panic mode. Tight. Just the whole way, the whole operation, everything. The way they're up on the edge of the dugout. You know, the way the manager's doing things, the decisions he's making. You know, the panic he's had since game one of this series. I don't know. They feel like they're in over their head. Like all of a sudden, we don't have the ability to cheat now. And I'm not bringing that into it, because they all try and cut corners. But you kicked their ass again. Like Ben Attendee saying he's black. How do you black out after you make that catch?
You think this series is over?
I do.
I'm not sure of it yet.
I think they're toast.
It's 3-1. You're one win away.
They
I don't
win tonight.
I don't have much faith in tonight's game with Verlander versus I don't know who. Okay, so I'm sort of chalking tonight up as one the Astros get, and this is coming back to Fenway.
Well, it's Price to start.
Yeah.
For how long?
But they said last
nine
night.
Outs, maybe?
That was
maybe?
The thing. They
12,
said last
nine, maybe 12.
And then what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Henry, Kelly.
Does it matter?
E-Rod?
Does it even matter? Because, I mean, the way Coors managers think, it's like for game to game. Well, I'm just worrying about tonight. Whatever happens tomorrow happens. We'll figure it out tomorrow. I'm not worried about tomorrow, about setting up game six.
So I think what happened last night is early on, they keep Porcello in the game. Because they know the situation with Sale. Cora knows that Sale's not going to go tonight. So he has to keep Porcello in the game. I don't think he had much of a choice. I know a lot of people were upset last night watching Porcello hang in there. I think he had zero choice. He had to stick with Porcello. Right. It was the right call. Alex Cora did the right thing last night by keeping Porcello in that game. And, when you get to the mid to later innings and you have a lead, that's when you got to go for it. And that's what they did. They went for it. My one second guess of Cora pitching wise last night is why Barnes didn't come back out in the eighth.
Yeah, that he was grooving. Everything seemed good with Barnes. I'm like, get Barnes out there. You want Kimbrel for how many outs?
I don't know what the original plan was there. Here's another question I have.
Oh, and by the way,
what was the situation in which you would have used David Price last night? What was the situation? What would have had to have happened in the eighth or ninth for him to get onto the field? It clearly wasn't getting in trouble.
I would say big lead.
It clearly wasn't giving up a run.
Right, Cora said if they scored two, he would have come in the game. They scored one in the eighth. If they would have scored two, Price was coming
so
in.
So two in the eighth or two period? That's my question. Because he didn't clarify that. Did he?
He was talking about the eighth. I'll go back and listen to the post game, but he did talk about it after the game.
Okay, so my question would be, what if it was one in the eighth and one in the ninth? If they had scored another run in the ninth, was Price coming into the game? With guys on base and a one-run game. That I really want to know that. My second guess, though, is about Barnes. Why wasn't Barnes back out to start the eighth inning? That would have been what I would have done in that situation. Not go to Kimbrel for the six outs. And Kimbrel continues to be a puddle in the playoffs. Let's just put that out there.
He's awful.
We've all accepted it. He's still the closer. You don't have much of a choice. You're still going to put him out there.
Closer by default.
But he is a puddle in these high-leverage situations. Puddle. He was losing it. He couldn't find the strike zone again. Same as New York last week.
Did you know that he's never had a save of four outs or more
in his career?
What's that tell you about the pitcher?
See, I didn't listen to everything they said last night. When they said that, I thought, interesting.
Here's Cora.
And here he comes in for the eighth inning.
Cora. You had Price warmed up, it looked like. Was there a point you would have brought him in? Or?
He was going to come in if the eighth was, it was worse than what he was, whatever, if they would have scored two. He was going to come in if we would have scored two in the ninth because of the long inning, but it didn't happen. And, now tomorrow he'll start.
So I guess at any point it was going to be a one-run game. Not one in the eighth, one in the ninth. I guess he's still okay there because he's saying two in either inning?
I'm still confused.
Well, they scored one in the eighth, right?
Yeah.
So if they would have scored two in the ninth, they would have been tied.
A tie game.
Yeah, so I don't quite understand that.
I don't understand
what. So you're going to bring him in a high-leverage tied game in the ninth, is what he's in essence saying, right?
Yes.
Holy Jesus.
So what I believe is that, probably midway through that game, Alex Cora said, we got to go for this. We got to win tonight because tomorrow night's not looking like it's going to be what we're lining up to be a good night with no sale, and we're going against Verlander. We have to win tonight's game. And once they got the lead, they went for it. But until they knew they were going to have the lead in the later innings, they were going to ride Porcello for as much as they could get out of him. They couldn't afford to take him out of that game. So I agree with that decision. I disagree with going to Kimbrel to start the eighth inning. Didn't like that move. That's what I would disagree with. As far as the Astros' issues, we're going to get to this play in right field with Mookie Betts. Okay, we're going to get to that. but there are things that the Astros did in this game that I think are sort of unforgivable, like missing second base, Carlos Correa. When you've got Devers running to first and you don't make sure you tag the bag at second. Kemp trying to take two. Now, granted, it was a terrific throw by Mookie to get him at second base. But Kemp trying to take two at that point in the game, bad mistake. That was bad. That was not a smart play on their part. They ran into an out there. Could have been a more critical situation for the Red Sox. And so I think that they helped the Red Sox, and the Red Sox crushed them as a result. Like, they completely took advantage of the dumb things that the Astros did in this game. Made them pay for all of it. For all of it. I thought that he was trying to get extra outs from Josh James that he should have been trying to get out of him. He should have moved on from Josh James. He'd had a good outing. He left him in there too long, AJ Hinch.
Calling him CPAP from now on.
Yeah, CPAP. Oh, he had sleep apnea, and now all of a sudden he's got a CPAP machine, and his fastball gained 10 miles per hour. Can you believe that?
Life-changing.
He went from like 91 to 101.
Life-changing.
Can you imagine that? He's breathing better, so he has 10 more miles on his fastball. 10 more miles per hour.
A lot of oxygen.
Wouldn't believe the boost he got from that oxygen.
Oxygen
every night.
Gets through your
what
blood,
the
through
hell
your
was that?
Yeah.
Oh, that is just. Stop reminding me of all the stupid stuff the TBS crew said.
Who knew that PED was spelled CPAP?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when it gets exposed, when this era in baseball gets exposed as yet another era full of steroids, I can't wait until we go back and say, look how stupid the announcers were then, convincing themselves that it wasn't a PED. It was something like a CPAP machine. Like, get out of here. Nonsense. 10 miles an hour. But Hinch left him in there too long. One of his mistakes on the night. Left Josh James in there too long. There is something that I do want to give AJ Hinch a lot of credit for, and it's what he said after the game. We got more to get to. No sale tonight for the Red Sox. Dave Dombrowski had comments.
Come on.
He had comments on that before the game that we definitely want to get to. So we'll hear from both Dave Dombrowski on Chris Sale and AJ Hinch after the game, and we'll get to some of your calls coming up on what was a fabulous, nearly five-hour game last night. All that is next.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Long set, now the 2-1. And Altuve hits it in the air to right, fairly deep. It sends back Bat, still going back on the warning track. He leaves, and that ball is off the wall. It's in play. I think they're going to call fan interference. They are. And Altuve is going to stop at second. Springer at third. Right field umpire Joe West saying that a fan interfered with Mookie Betts as he leapt to catch that ball up against the fence.
Definitely hit his glove, but his glove was in the seats. It's really close. It looks like it's right over the top of that yellow line. I think this is a homer. When you really look at this, this is monumental.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, headsets come off, and the call is the same. So it's going to be fan interference. Springer's going to be at third, Altuve at second. Oh, wait, are they calling an out?
Yeah,
they're calling an out, so Springer goes back to first base. So they're calling that an out.
Well, those guys didn't know what the hell was going on. That was Astros radio last night. Troy Caldwell was the fan wearing the orange polo shirt with the Reagan Bush 84 hat.
Nice! Love that hat. God
he left his MAGA hat on the shelf at home for last night. He broke out a little vintage. It was a big night for him. He went throwback. He went retro.
Like, most crushing election defeat in history. It's like, what else do you celebrate? What other things were, like, never in doubt? It's like, why don't you wear a hat that says, "The sun came up today"?
Yeah. Clinton 96. Woo!
Reagan Bush 84? Didn't they win like 98% of the popular vote?
I don't know, Hardy. But all I know is
probably weren't alive.
Is that he may or may not have reached out into the field of play. And I'm going to say this. If you are trying to figure out from that video and what video is available, you're doing a fool's errand. It's a waste of time. There's nothing definitive one way or the other on that video.
Ooh, I think it's pretty definitive.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is definitive. I think there are ways you can sort of analyze it,
yeah,
and look at where this guy, Troy, what's his name? Troy Caldwell, you know, his legs are up against the wall and his arms are extended. So unless he has the shortest arms in the history of Earth, but they're angled. So
is Troy,
you know,
the one with the golf
angled
shirt
to his right? So how far over would his hands maybe have been?
I think it's as simple as this. Who's the guy that has his hand on? Is this Troy with the golf shirt? That has his
Troy.
Hand? Okay. So Troy, who has his hand on
Caldwell,
the top of the wall,
Mr.
bracing
Caldwell
himself in front of his legs to help himself reach over. And as you can see on NBC Sports Boston right now, he's not reaching laterally. He is reaching on an angle, which puts his hand over top of that wall extended.
Is it
right
definitive
on
by that angle? No, it's not definitive.
Yeah,
it's not.
Nah, that's definitive.
No, it isn't. There is no definitive evidence one way or the other.
You think that hand's over the wall?
I couldn't tell by the video. Rochi was at the perfect angle, and Rochi says they reached over, so
okay.
I believe Rochi.
Okay. Moose and Glenn, camera guys, yeah. NBC Sports Boston, they were in the auxiliary press box, as was Dan Rhodes, and they both immediately tweeted, and they shot pictures of what their angle was, where they were sitting in center field looking down. They had a view straight down that wall, and they both said immediately those fans absolutely reached out over the wall. And Joe West, who was there live and in person, had zero hesitation in saying that the guys reached over. And to me, the people that were actually there and saw it with their own eyes are better judges of what the hell happened there than any of the video that exists.
Were those people like bat-ass pissed off when they called that thing an out, the fans? Or were they
seemed like it.
No, it seemed like,
like if that was Yankee Stadium back in the day and that was a Gary Sheffield type play. Or at Fenway, when Sheffield was involved with the fan interference. You're losing your freaking minds as fans. Like, you're throwing stuff. If the call goes against you, you're flipping out.
They stood there and looked like they had done something wrong.
They're like,
they knew that they had
Calvin.
Done something wrong. They interfered with him. You watch the video, look at the still. His hand is up against their hand.
Well, of course they interfere with him, but the question is, where was he? Where was his glove? If it's on one side of the wall, it's fair game. If it's on his side of the wall, you can't touch him. It's all about where he was.
Now, from that angle, it looks like Mookie's glove is at least over top that wall, which would mean it's in the fans.
The guy whose hand you see, you know, the palm, yeah, his other hand is on the, you know, over on the other side of the wall, which would indicate to me then his other hand, the one that's touching Mookie, is on the other side of the wall too. You can't see it in that still photo that we're looking at.
I think they got it right, Artie, right, but now. I'm telling you, it's right. A fool's errand.
Well, I think they got it right,
too. If you're
trying
to point at this, it's like, God, I've got the definitive
evidence. But I also think, yeah. I also think if they didn't interfere, and they
there's no definitive evidence there. I know that's not a hot take. I know that sucks because you got to take a firm stand on this. I'm telling you that video and those still images, you can't freaking tell. Don't tell me you can tell for sure or you've got some definitive proof that was or was not. You know, over that wall.
Definitive.
You don't. There's nothing definitive about it.
One hand here, one hand
definitive about it.
Identical. Do you think if they didn't interfere, that was a home run? I absolutely do. I think he would have missed the ball.
Why?
I thought he missed.
Why? Based on what?
Based on how his glove squeezed early.
Why would anyone squeeze their glove early?
That's not a thing.
I don't know. There's a hand in a freaking minute, and that's what makes the glove close.
Yeah, when the ball hits the glove.
Yeah, when the ball hits the glove, that's when it closes.
You've never taken your baseball glove and snapped it at a ball?
Not in that situation.
You just sit there waiting for it to be open.
No, I know how to catch a baseball.
Gloves open.
No.
But I'm saying, if it's Tony, you want to speed
as a catcher or maybe as an infielder, if you're trying to make a quick play on a ball, when you're just trying to catch it, no. You do everything you can to make that glove as big as possible and get that thing down into the webbing. And then once the weight of the ball's in there, boom. What? Look, you know how you prove this? Watch Benintendi's catch. Does he close the glove before the ball's in it? Watch the catch that ended the game.
You close your mouth for it?
Yeah, I know you can't argue it because you're wrong. Anyone who says that you close your glove before the ball's in it.
Yeah. If there are no fans there,
wrong.
If the fans stay the hell out of the way, Mookie makes that catch and it's an out, which is why I don't feel bad for them at all.
He was right there.
And you know, Hardy, you know that I have a thing about fans reaching into the field to play in baseball. I've had this thing about this for a very long time.
Him.
It's one of the things that drives me crazy in sports. People at baseball games that reach over or don't get the hell out of the way when there is a play coming their way. I think you are a bad fan.
You think
bad
they should have been kicked
out?
Two
nights in jail, heavy fine, letter of disinvite, all of that. Kick them all out. Goodbye. You know my class.
That's a little excessive.
You touch the ball and you get in the way, you're immediately ejected. I've said that for years.
They should have been tossed.
Not a new take.
They should have been tossed.
Yeah. I would have thrown them out. Get the hell out. We need to set a precedent that you don't involve yourself in the play of the game. Stay out of the way in the interest of the game being played.
Right. I say put the nets up everywhere.
I think I feel bad for Troy Caldwell. You dummy, get out of the way. You don't think it would have been a home run? You don't think he would have caught it? Why don't you find out? Why don't you get the hell out of the way and see what happens?
Yeah.
Don't feel bad for the Astros.
There's a game there.
Has there ever been two more controversial catches in back-to-back games? The one that it did hit the wall or didn't hit the wall that they called out?
You know, they're out there saying, didn't close his glove. We didn't close his glove. Well, hey, what? You know what? Geniuses? Well, then stay out of the way, and he would have closed his glove, and he wouldn't have caught it. And you would have had a souvenir. You would have picked it up at your feet.
Rip his hat off.
And it would have been a home run.
You were all reaching for a ball that the player had a play on.
God.
You want to know how you had a play on it? Because the ball hit his glove.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which he didn't close early.
Do you know how
it
hard
that
was
closed by about three or four hands that hit it?
Do you understand how hard that is not to do, to be sitting out there?
I agree.
You're juiced. You've been partying all day. You're excited for the game. You love the Astros. Wow, there's a rocket hit to you. Guess what? I'm going to catch it for my kid. I'm going to go get it. It's coming.
You got a Hank from somewhere, King of the Hill standing out there trying to unwind after
I violated it by, what, 2 or 3 inches? Like, you know what I mean? There's such a margin for making that decision is, what do I do? Just stand here with my hands in my pockets?
Poor dude. He stood there looking like he's just trying to unwind from a day of selling propane and propane accessories.
Put the brisket in at 10 a.m. I don't have to go. Called Cheryl's wife. She got to turn the brisket. Make sure temperature's down 250. Eat that thing in 12 hours.
I'm telling you, the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen the Red Sox do, this current ownership, the most embarrassing thing they've ever done was honor the kid who was in the stands in 07 in the DS against the Angels that reached over on a pop-up with the catcher trying to make a play. They let the kid throw out the first pitch because he interfered.
Oh, that's nice.
Embarrassing.
It's a kid, people.
That's nice.
He was 17. He wasn't like a little kid. You know why? Because he was the son.
In jail for
because
him
he was the son of some minority owner. It was like, oh, let's celebrate him and put him out there and let him throw out
that's
the first
pitch.
That's
how he got pitch. The good tickets, huh?
That's yes. Embarrassing is nice, what that was.
Nice thing.
Yeah, find all robots and people that keep their hands in their pockets. You know,
embarrassing. All right, let's get to Dave Dombrowski talking about Chris Sale. This is pregame last night. He did talk about the cheating scandal and the allegations the Astros have sort of had against all the other teams in baseball. Apparently, they're all cheating, and the Astros are trying to clean up the game. But here's more important stuff. Dombrowski on Sale.
Can you talk about Sale and give us a little rundown on Chris's condition?
Well, I think Alex already talked about it, that he's a little bit weak still at this point. He's not going to start tomorrow, and we plan on him starting, I believe, on Saturday.
Is the stomach all right? Is it just a weakness thing, trying to put the weight back on in strength, or is he still bothered by the stomach?
I cannot answer that question. I don't really know if his stomach is bothered. He told me he's fine. He told me he's fine, and he'll be ready to go on Saturday. I'm sure he'll be ready to go on Saturday.
Do you have any more clarity of what caused it? Was it food poisoning?
I really can't. That's something Chris would have to disclose.
Okay, here we go again with Dave Hippa Dombrowski. I don't want to disclose anything. If it were just the food poisoning or the flu, wouldn't he just say so? We really got to cite HIPAA laws over something like that?
Well, maybe he's learned here because he said Pedroia had Dustin's got a bad knee, a chronically bad knee. He needs to manage pain.
No, but like, he laid it out for him. He invokes this player privacy crap. Yeah. When it's something they don't want to talk about.
Because he's probably not sick.
So why don't they want to talk about whatever it is that's actually going on with Chris Sale?
Because maybe they missubscribe some type of medication. And maybe that's the issue. Maybe they're trying to figure out what anti-inflammatory or drug mixture they could use this time to help make it work.
Yeah, maybe it's just worse than they're letting on.
Which tells me it's not a stomach ailment.
I really can't. That's something Chris would have to disclose.
What? So now it's on Chris? I really can't. Something Chris would have to disclose.
Is there any clarity on what this was? Was it?
Do you have to disclose the flu?
No. You don't have to disclose the flu.
If you're going by the letter of the law, yeah, I guess so. But give me a break. Was Chris Sale going to turn around and sue the Red Sox over that? No. If it were something that was not serious, as it's happened a million times before, you would have a manager or a GM reveal what's going on.
Goes back to Sunday.
I know that there's laws on this, but players have an expectation or an understanding that what happens with them related to them playing their sport is going to be public knowledge.
And you knew the stuff on Buchholz, and it eventually gets out, and there were whispers of that. But I go back to Sunday, and we don't go to the clubhouse. We don't spend time there. We're not around this team. But let me tell you, Peter Abraham is. He doesn't miss a game. He doesn't miss a day. And the line of questioning regarding the stomach, baseball related, was it something he took for pitching for the arm? Why is he asking that?
Now somebody's
talking.
They are clamming and up.
And now the GM is just pleading the fifth. I have to ask Chris that. He has to disclose that.
617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls coming up next. We'll do fantasy at 10:50. Get your lineup set for the weekend. Bert Breer will be in here for an hour starting at 11 a.m.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox are one win away from going to the World Series after they beat the Astros last night, 8-6. All right, enough about the Mookie Betts catch that wasn't a catch. Let's talk about the catch that was a catch with Alex Cora, the Benintendi catch to end the game.
We've been attacking Alex, you know, to the edges of the strike zone, and he's put some good swings on it. He's been patient, and, you know, he attacked a pitch up in the zone, and, you know, he didn't barrel it, and Benny had a great jump. The way that game was going after Josh made the play in right field, I knew something interesting was going to happen in that inning, and Benny took a shot, had a great jump, and, you know, he got it.
Red Sox now with a 3-1 series lead in the best of seven. They will play game five tonight. It's an 8:09 start time. Bruins lost last night. First of back-to-backs, fell to the Flames in Calgary 5-2. They will go again tonight. Take on the Edmonton Oilers. It's an 8:30 pregame right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Headlines are brought to you by My Hair Doctors, Doctors Robert Leonard and Matthew Lepresti, 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Get your headlines anytime on your Alexa voice-activated speaker or right here in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I was just kind of going back, and I got a good jump on it. And I was pretty positive I was going to be able to catch it. As I jumped and went over, reached my hand up, I felt like somebody was kind of pushing my glove, you know, out of the way or something. And, you know, I got to see a little bit of the replay, and they were going to catch the ball. And push my glove out of the way. So I didn't know it was called an out. That's why I got it and threw it home. But I guess he got the call right.
Astros fans upset with Mookie because he said he went over.
He said, I jumped and I went over.
Could have been over the top of the wall.
Which means fair game.
Could have been over the wall.
Now, that last angle that NBC Sports Boston showed, it looked like his arm was reaching over.
I was pretty positive I was going to be able to catch it as I jumped and went over.
Oh, God.
Did you hear A.J. Hinch after the game?
I did not.
His own fans should listen to him. Here's A.J. Hinch.
The call on Jose Altuve's.
What do you think I thought?
What did I see?
I saw fan interference. I've had this a couple times, or we have as a team, and they deemed the fan reached over into the field of play and interfered with bets. And Jose pays the biggest price because the trajectory of the ball looked like it was going to leave the ballpark. But we assume... And you can assume a lot with Mookie because he's an incredible athlete. We assume he's going to make this spectacular catch, jumping as high as he can into the crowd. I asked for a review, and obviously they're going to give it to us. And they reviewed it and came back with the same outcome. So once the fan reaches in, you know, past that line of the fence, we're going to penalize hitters every time. And so, change that whole inning.
You guys lose 8-6.
That doesn't matter. It's convenient to think about it that way. But there's a lot of game left. There's a lot of action in that game. I'm not going to go there. But it would have been nice to tie the game at that point. But that's not the difference. That's not how the game plays.
It's at the bottom of the first inning. You had two leads after this happened, and there was a lot of baseball left to play last night. You can't possibly think that's the reason why you lost.
I think Cora would have answered it exactly the same way because they're exactly right. That's our rules.
He disagrees with it.
You can't have interference. Hey, we're going to penalize our hitters. He's doing it, people.
He doesn't like the call, but he's not blaming the loss on it.
Nope. He was good. That was good.
You wouldn't dare do that. That's ridiculous. So the Astros fans who think that are being ridiculous. Jim is in the car. Go ahead,
Jimmy.
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing some sports. What are you doing?
Just driving,
nice.
Trying to get to work.
Mm.
Couple quick things. So the commentators last night on Price said he was warming up so hard and had been up a couple different times that there was no way he could pitch game five.
Right.
So that was the comment. And then as far as the lineup goes tonight, I think Price is going to go 4. Eddie's going to go 2. You're going to get a couple innings out of Barnes. And they're going to have to fill in the rest. But I think Barnes are going to pitch the 8th and the 9th. What do you guys think?
Okay, well, I want to stop on a couple of things here. 4 out of Price is asking a lot. Given how much he warmed up last night, that does factor into tonight. Hey, Eddie Rodriguez, he really helped out last night, huh?
He's good.
Oh, my God. That is...
Has there been a guy that has fallen further than
First
him?
Of all, he shouldn't have been in the game. He was in a high leverage spot, to which I tweeted at the time, oh, it looks like Cora's letting him out of the doghouse. And then after one batter who he walked, he was promptly put right back in. What a waste. 2 innings out of him tonight? I cross your fingers.
Don't you feel like they felt like they needed that one out because Barnes couldn't do anything but more than a batter? After the game played out, as the game was going on, I agree with you. After the fact, I'm like, they were trying to ride Brazier as long as they possibly could.
Yep. They were.
And they didn't want to use Barnes, I don't think.
I don't know why, though.
Maybe something's wrong with him. That's
my
point.
It looks like Brazier's deserved to get the nod. I mean, I don't know. I feel like Brazier's one of your better guys, him and Joe Kelly.
No, but they needed both of them, though.
I know that. But I'm saying I don't understand how you could go into any game now, moving forward here, and say, well, this guy's going to go 4. He's going 2.
Tonight's
you have
game.
No freaking clue.
Tonight's game is not about the pitching
You're
for the
just
Red
on
Sox.
The fly, man.
It's not. It just isn't. If you want a chance to win the game, you have to hit.
Yeah, but they've been hitting.
No. I mean, you have to really hit tonight.
Oh, the big guys. Yeah, it'd be nice.
I mean, you need Betts. You need J.D. Martinez, who looks like he may be starting to come out of the slump. Maybe starting. He knocked in that run at the end of the game last night. Maybe he's coming around.
He got the podium last night with Betts.
Ah, he got a podium call. I mean, prior to that, he had one hit in the series.
Jim's yelling in the background.
Maybe he's coming around a little
bit. I
think
we need to stop talking in terms of innings, though, and we more turns in terms of outs at this point. I think this is how Cora's managing. He's managing in outs, not innings.
Mike is in Danvers. Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Oh, doing great.
Good.
How you doing?
Okay. Listen, I'm good. Look, if you guys watch the still shot, the guy in the orange shirt next to the guy in the white shirt.
Troy.
First of all,
Troy Caldwell.
Troy McClure. His legs are leaning against the wall, number one. His body is bent forward, number two. The only way that those fans are not reaching over is if their hands are in their pockets. That's the only way they're not reaching over. It's pretty clear to me. But the only other thing I want to say, the best ballpark to stop this is Cleveland. And they got about a six-foot wall there where the fans can't reach over. So
I just think from the laws of physics or science, whatever Fred wanted to call it this morning, if you're standing there in the first row and you're seeing this man with his hand on the wall, if you're doing this like reaching back or going backwards or staying behind the wall, you're not hanging onto the wall to give somebody next to you something. You're up against the wall and you're holding the wall because you're attempting to lean over the wall. It's just common sense.
Well, it's just instinct, too. There's a ball coming at you. I'm going to lean over here and catch it myself.
Yeah.
But the question was, where was the ball? I think they got it right. I think they got the call right. But I'm not going to sit here and say you're an idiot for thinking it was the other way because the evidence is not great. I can't point to a shot down the line. Hey, nice work by the security guard getting in the way, by the way, on that other angle that TBS showed later. I think it was the second inning. They came back and showed you that, and there's the guy with the security across his back.
No. The only thing,
nice work, Ace.
The only thing I really disagree with are the people saying that Betts closed his glove himself.
Yeah, that's foolish.
That, to me, is foolish.
Closed it early?
Yeah, closed it early.
Stop it.
That's what I said.
Don't be foolish. Gene in Boston. Gene.
Hi, Gene.
Yes, hi, this is Gene. Yeah, I want to speak about that catch.
What about it?
Yeah, well, let's be real. I'm a Red Sox fanatic, just like you guys. Now, Mookie Betts has power in those hands. We know it. We see how he grips the bat. You're trying to tell me that when he had his hand extended, with those four fingers extended, he can go up with all that power and might, which we never thought he would get that high, and because a fan decides to stand up with their stomach, their gut, and their hand, that his glove, the weapon, hits this guy's stomach, and it makes Mookie Betts' four fingers close inwards. There's no way. Now, what I say is...
Okay, I'm going to hang up there, because...
The fingers don't all go all the way to the end of the gloves. They barely have their hands in the gloves.
It's not even an really accurate description of what happened.
Like nasty fingers.
It's not even an accurate description of what happened. And I have to be honest with you. I don't want to sit here and take calls all day on this stupid play in the first inning. There were much better things in this game to talk about than this.
You better bang in for the rest of the show
because those
calls are coming in all day, baby.
Was it because everyone went to bed last night and you missed all the good stuff? What is this? You want to talk about this all day?
I just want to talk about how did Benintendi almost black out? That's the one I love. You make a fantastic play. All you want to do is absorb it in. Run around, shoot guns. Woo! Yes! Nah, I blacked out almost. I mean, I black out almost sometimes, but not like after I make a great play.
You black out.
Shut up.
I'm with you, Beetle. I went to bed last night after the game was over. I woke up this morning. I'm like, I started listening to the post game on the ride in. And I'm like, oh, I forgot about that play. We're going to have to talk about that.
Oh, God.
Today,
it's a play of the game. That's what everybody's talking about.
It wasn't the play of the game.
It's all over the news. Every news station, wake up this morning.
That wasn't the play of the game.
That's all they have on. That and the Benintendi catch. That was it. Two plays.
Brutal.
Buckle up.
All right, next, Scott Gramling. We'll set your DraftKings lineup for the weekend. Stay tuned.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
One, two,
let's get you set for football this weekend. Thursday is already here, if you can believe that. Scott Gramling joins us on the line. Help us with that lineup. Hi, Scott.
How you guys doing?
What's up?
We did pretty well last week.
My pick sucked, didn't it? TJ Yeldon?
What was our final score?
Yeldon wasn't great. We had 165.6.
Oh, it's good. It's good.
Yeah, we're top 15% in a lot of the contests I was in. I cashed. I mean, we had some big, big producers.
Nice.
We got 36 points out of Winston. We got 32.5 out of Kareem Hunt. 25-plus out of Tyler Boyd and 38 out of Melvin Gordon. It could have, I mean, those are big outputs. And then, of course, I sort of screwed us on the Gesicki pick was terrible. John Brown didn't do anything. And Beetle, your Jarvis Landry pick was awful, too. But, hey, we cashed.
We cashed for that pick.
So who's your pick this week?
I'm actually taking Sony Michel, and I don't know what the price tag is on him. It's probably going to start to get up there, right? What is he, $5,500?
He's 5,500. It's still so low.
Right.
Go ahead, Zo. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, but with the ability of them now to have that running game, I think they're going to continue to feed him just based on how the last 3 weeks have gone. Road game, they got to get back to winning on the road. They haven't done it this year, and I think they have confidence running the football now. I think he's getting in.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I was shocked. I thought he'd be 6,000 plus when it came out. Look at the last 3 weeks, right? Four touchdowns,
yep.
Running the ball, yardage totals. Yeah, 112, 98, 106. I mean, those are solid numbers there. I think it's a great pick. It's
Thank
a great
you.
Value pick. Appreciate and that. You look at some of the running backs that are priced higher than him, and it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, Chris Thompson, Dalvin Cook hasn't done anything this year. Those guys are all priced higher than Sony Michel. So, yeah, I like it, Zo. Good job.
Thank you. Thanks, buddy.
Bears have a good run defense, though, do they not?
It's okay.
Not particularly.
Okay. I think
their defense is underrated
against the run. They're second. Jim's telling me they're second in the league.
Yeah. They haven't allowed a rushing touchdown all season.
Okay.
Yep. Everybody throws
There's
all
that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dolphin tank 31 with Brock. Yeah. Brock Osweiler.
That. All right, I'm going to give you running back. I'm going to give you running back as well. My pick this week is David Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
I keep going?
It's okay. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's right there. He's right where he should be priced. I've got him 10th among fantasy running backs this week. I know it's a weak match or a weak defense he's going against, but you know, he's the 10th highest priced running back, and I think he's the 10th running back this week. So it's right there. Are the Cardinals going to get their offense on track? Well, if they're going to, it's going to be tonight against the Broncos. So not a terrible pick, but I don't like it as much as the Sony Michel pick.
All right. Okay. Well, maybe we'll have a little side bet.
Maybe we will. Between the two of those guys, that wouldn't be bad.
All right. Zo and I will discuss that.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. But, you know, the thing about the Bears' defense, they just haven't faced that many good offenses to this point in the season.
They're going to deal Brady and everybody. They got their hands full. So I think they're going to be able to run.
This is a whole different thing, right? I mean, they played that Buccaneers offense. They've played against that Cardinals offense. The Dolphins, I think. I am going with the quarterback wide receiver combination of Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen.
I like that.
I think that's right. I think that's a solid one. Again, when you look on the surface at the numbers, Tennessee's defense is not atrocious, but then you look at who they've played, right? When they played Deshaun Watson, they gave up over 300 yards. When they played Carson Wentz, they gave up over 300 yards, 348 yards. You know, some of the stats are really because they've also gotten to face Josh Allen. They've gotten to face Ryan Tannehill. I feel like solid quarterbacks are putting up numbers against this secondary. And I think that when you look at somebody like Rivers and how relatively low price he is at 5,700 and some of the quarterbacks that you'd have to pony up more money for, to me, I think there's a lot of value there. And I think with Keenan Allen, you know, being drafted in season-long leagues as a wide receiver one going into the season, he's really just returned wide receiver two type value. I think his number's a bit depressed in terms of what the cost is. So I kind of like that combo of quarterback receiver playing in the London game on Sunday morning. Alshon Jeffrey, only 6,300 going against that Carolina secondary. That's the weakness of the Carolina defense, is that secondary. I think that's great value there. Cooper Kupp is out, and therefore there's going to be more targets to spread around. Robert Woods at only 7,000, to me, is the way to go for the Rams this week going against that 49ers defense. I've got David Njoku. Things I think are looking up a bit for him, the tight end for the Browns, only 4,200 going against that awful Tampa Bay secondary. I like him there. I've got Tevin Coleman in the flex position going against the Giants defense. It's kind of been a bit unheralded how bad the Giants defense has been because how bad the offense has been. That's gotten most of the talk. But look at the kind of numbers that they've been giving up in recent weeks. The Panthers scored over 30 on them. The Eagles scored over 30 on them. I think that this is a spot here where on Monday night the Falcons can roll up some major yards, and Devonta Freeman is out for the season. And I'm going back to the well for a second straight week with the Bills defense, a very underrated defense. They got us a solid 14 points last week going against the Texans, and now they're going up against the Colts. I know T.Y. Hilton's going to be back, but at 2,300, I think the Bills offer some solid value at the defense position.
All right, so we've got our lineup. Phillip Rivers, David Johnson, Sony Michel, Alan Woods, Jeffrey, the wide receivers. David Njoku is the tight end. Tevin Coleman in the flex. And the Bills are your defense. That leaves you with zero remaining dollars for salary. So that is tight up against it. All right, we'll see if we cash again. Good stuff.
I think we got a good shot, fellas.
All right, very good.
All right.
Scott, appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Scott Gramling. You can follow him on Twitter, at Scott Gramling. Send all your questions his way, the Fantasy Freak, 617-779-0985. Bert Breer is standing by. He will join us in 90 seconds.